Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Pei Vav, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Omid where the Gemara quotes what we learned already yesterday. Gufa Omer Shmuel, ha-moichish tar-choyv lech-haveroi, v'chazer u-mecholoi mochul. Person went and sold a note to his chaver. Right, a person had a note, let's say, from Yankel Smith. Yankel Smith owes him $100. The person who's selling the note needs cash. The maturity date of the note is only in another 6 months. He doesn't have time to wait to get cash in 6 months. So he sells it now at a discount. Goes and sells it to Jones. The whole shtar was, let's say, for $100. He sells it to him for $50 and said, in 6 months from now, you're going to get a nice windfall. You're going to get $100. So he sold it for $50. Everybody's happy. Everything is great. Subsequently, this Malve, who just sold the shtar, what did he do? He was moichel. He called up the loyven and says, remember, you owe me money, I'm moichel lechayv. Now, this sounds, of course, like a very deceptive practice. Brother Shai, we just began, we're on Pei Vav Amid Aleph, six lines from the top of the Amid. We're just reviewing what we learned already yesterday about Shmuel. What the person did is not nice, to go and be moichel, but that's what he did. We're not recommending that a person do that, but if chas v'shalom a person did that, says Shmuel, it's effective. On the surface, it's hard to understand how this would be effective, because after all, the Malva sold the loan. It doesn't belong to him anymore. How can you be moichel? It's not yours anymore. And the Mefarshim explained, because there's something known as a loan, and there's something known as a note. The loan was personal to the Malva and to the Loive. The note is a piece of paper reflecting that loan. Just because the Malva sold the note to a purchaser doesn't mean that he no longer has anything to do with the loan. The loan is still outstanding personal to him because he lent the money. However, the note was sold. And therefore, says Shmuel, if the Malva decides to go and be moichel on the loan, that mechila is effective. Not only that, but filu yoyrish moichel, even if chas v'shalom the Malva passed away, and he left over a yoyrish, even the yoyrish can go and be moichel on the note. Now, obviously, the purchaser has been damaged by all of that, and therefore the Gemara tells us two things. Amar v'una b'reid of Yeshua, v'impikechu. If the purchaser is smart, what he can do is mekarkish le'zuzei, v'kosev le'shtora b'shmei. What he can do is, he goes over to the seller, that's the Malva, and he says to him, you know what, I don't want to just hold on to the original note, what I'd like to do is I'd like to start a brand new note, which doesn't belong to you anymore, and by starting with a brand new note, then I'll be much better off. You won't be able to be moichel. So he gives him, the Gemara uses the expression, mekashish le'zuzei, which means he lets the coins jingle and make noise. What it really means is he pays a couple of dollars to go and the cost of lishterach b'shmei, that instead of being a note from the loive to the malve, that is the original malve, it'll now be from a loive to the new purchaser. And this way, if and when the Malva decides to go and be moichel, there's nothing more to be moichel, because we have, Baruch Hashem, a brand new note between the loive and the new purchaser. The Ritva adds, our Gemara doesn't say that we tear up the original note. You can keep the original note. And what the problem over here is that if you write out a brand new note, you lose out the benefit of all mishubadim, about any lien that may have been created as a result of the first note. After all, the first note is a month old, or 6 months old, or 5 years old, and at that time, the loiva owned certain properties, and so therefore, payment of the loan was guaranteed with liens on those properties. If you were to substitute the old note with a brand new note, then the note is written from today. It's not, you can't predate it, you know, as of a month ago or a year ago. You write it from today. Today, maybe the loiva has no properties left, and therefore you're losing the benefit of the lien. So the Ritva says that you in fact write a brand new note, like the Gemara says, but incorporate in it the old note, so that you go and write in the new note that there is now a halva from the original loive to the new purchaser, and to secure all of the obligations in this new note, we have assigned all of the liens that was in the first note in this note. And then you presumably, if you will, staple or clip the old note to the new note. You don't void the old note, leave the old note outstanding, because if you're going to go and tear it up or void it, then all of the lekuchos will go and sigh a sigh of relief and say, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to worry about that anymore, that that note has been quote-unquote paid up. It really hasn't been paid up, but if you were to tear it up, then the shibud gets torn up. So therefore, we go and clip the... Oh, one second, don't be... I know you where you're going to. Just wait one more moment. So the old note will be clipped to the new note. The new note will incorporate it. The new note, the date will be from today, but it will say that we incorporate in its terms the old shibudim that appeared in the first note. Now, because that first note still is in existence, the mal, this is not a perfect solution, says the Ritva, because what the malve can still do is be moichel all of the shibudim and all of the loans and all of the terms of the first note. So even though I've incorporated in the second note, it's not foolproof. However, if the malve has no interest in dealing with the shibudim, I mean, it could very well be the malve has rachmonis on the loive. Nevertheless, the loive is a poor guy, that's why he took out the loan in the first place. So, without this new epikeach, without this new note, the malve might be moichel the first note. That is not just the note, he would be moichel the loan altogether, and then the purchaser will say, oy vai vai, I have nothing left. Therefore, the Gemara says, don't go and tear up the first note, leave it intact. Write a second note. Let that second note incorporate the terms of the first note. Hopefully the malve is not going to care anymore, because vis-a-vis the loan itself, it's now been transformed from the original loive to malve, now it's loive to purchaser. Vis-a-vis that, the malve has nothing to say. Yes, the malve could go and be moichel on the shibudim of the first note, but maybe the malve has no interest in being moichel those shibudim, because as far as he's concerned, whoever went and bought properties post the original note, you know, they were on notice. There was a coil out there. Everybody is aware of the fact that there was this note. If they decided to go and buy properties subject to those liens, okay, that's their problem. That's not my problem, says the Malva. And presumably, he's not going to be Moichel. But if he were to be Moichel, okay, we've lost the Shibudim, but at least we have outstanding the brand new loan from the Loive to the new purchaser, together with any liens from the time of the new note. Barry wants to ask something. Baruch Hashem. So, I figured as much, I saw that gleam in your eye, and I figured we'll try to address it. And, yes. Yes. Brother Shai, I agree with you 1,000%. What happens if the Malva, notwithstanding all of his commitments, decides to be Moichel anyway? Will it be effective? Say Shmuel, yes, it's effective. Okay, so that's going to be the next Gemara. What you're talking about is, it's all fine and dandy that we talk about legalese, that the Malva still has rights vis-a-vis this loan, and he can be moichel it. Good. But what about the poor purchaser? The purchaser put down money. Isn't he entitled to get some sort of compensation? And that's the next Gemara, and I thank you for giving us that segue into the next Gemara. So, Amra Meimar, Man de doim dina de gamli magvi bay de meishtara ma'alia. Man de loy doim dina de gamli magvi bay de mei niyora ba'alma. What's the Gemara telling us? As you know, there's a din of groma binizakin, or groma binizikin. What means a groma? A groma means that the person didn't actually do the physical act, but he was a goyrem. It happened indirectly, he was the cause, and you have the cause and effect, but he didn't do it a direct act, but just indirectly. Normally, a groma binizakin is potter. All the examples of groma, and as the Gemara is going to say now, dina de gami, these are lengthy sugyas, which we're going to get to when we get to the bavis in another year or so. The OU sent out that today, Baruch Hashem, we are celebrating the 1,000th daf since the beginning of Shas. Baruch Hashem, those that started once again in the new machzer and have been learning every single day, 1,000 blat. Can you imagine how Kadosh Baruch Hu is so happy? So many Yidden have learned 1,000 blat over the last 2.5 years or so. And in Yad Hashem, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to continue. And hopefully in another 500 blat or 1,000 blat, we're going to get to the Bavis and we'll deal with these issues in greater detail. What Amemr is telling us is, even though Grom ben Izakin is Potter, we have a Machloikis Lagabi Dina de Garmi. Dina de Garmi is a very hard concept to define. We'll have to wait a minute when we get to the Sugya. But basically it means a groma which was a stark groma, not just a shvach groma, an indirect cause, but it was a direct cause and effect. I didn't actually do the maisa, but what I did caused it to happen. And therefore, this machloikis whether the din of the gami is an exception to the din of groma or not. So our Gemara says, "Omer name man the doin din the gami." Whoever says yes, din the gami, you got to pay. Magvi vei to me ishtar ma'alma ma'alia. Although what the original malva did, the seller, was effective, after all Shmuel said, it's mochel, nevertheless, he's going to have to pay the bill. He's going to have to go and pay the purchaser dollar for whatever he paid for it. Now, there's a machloik, is exactly what this means, magvivei demei shtor ma'aliyah. There's some rishonim that want to go and learn that it means he has to go and pay him back the amount that he paid. For instance, we said in our example that there was a $100 note, he sold it for $50, the malvu was meichel, so he got to pay him back the $50. However, Tosis says the Lashon HaGemara doesn't sound like that, since it says the meishtar ma'alya, and the Gemara another 2 lines is going to talk about ki kishur letzalmi, it sounds like he has to go and pay him, in fact, the face amount of the note, so that the purchaser not only gets back his money, but he also gets back his expectations. After all, the reason why he bought the note in the first place was because it was a $100 note. I don't want to give $50 and get back $50. Shkoyach, for that, I don't need you. So he wants to get to the Lashon HaGemara's mashal, you'd have to pay him the full $100. Man deloy don din gami, however, the person, the man diyama that says, I'm not done din de gami, then magvi beit me in yorma alma. He only has to pay him the value of a piece of paper. How much is a piece of paper worth? I don't know. A penny, a nickel, a dime, whatever it is. That's how he has to pay him. He doesn't have to pay him anything more. That doesn't mean that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is happy with what he did, and presumably upstairs in Shemayim, they're going to go and take good care of this fellow. But the Maisa, what he did was an enforceable mechila, and according to this Mali Amar, he only has to pay Demeni Yarab Alma. You see from the small bays, right after Omer HaMeimer, bays, man de doin din de gami, that apparently the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like the first man de Yamar, that he's going to have to pay him back fully. The obvious question then remains, so why do you do in the first place? What do you get from going and being moichel, since you're going to have to go and pay back? Anyway, the Top Toises talks about that in a little bit more detail, especially since we said that Rav Nachman gave an Eitzah for his Kroiva, that she should go and be Mechelis on the Ksuba, and then she's going to Yarshin and she's going to have it. What difference does that make? She's going to have to go and pay back to the purchaser anyway. So, Ayin Shem B'Toises. But getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Hava Uvdid, it was in fact a real life case. The Kafya Rofram, the Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was the Dayan in this case. And Rofram kind of pushed him, nudged him, V'agvi Bei, Ki Kishur L'Talmi, that he paid back this malva that was moichel on the original loan paid back like a kshura letzalmi. This is an expression. Rashi says a kshura means a large beam, a beam like that you use in... Oh yeah, do you hear me, Rabbi Yisai? I don't see you guys, so... Okay. All right. You hear me and see me? That's great. Now I'm muted. Okay. So we have to... Yes, yes, I understand. I'm going to try to unmute myself. Gotcha. Okay, can you hear me now? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So, Morris says, Ki kishur letzalma. I'm sorry? Shelley, you said something. Here. Thank you. So, the Gemara says, Ki kishur letzalma. This is an expression. Rashi declares that kishura means a beam, like the type of beam that you have in a home, which was used by a tzalem. Tzalem, I think even today in Eretz Yisrael, I think that a photographer is called a tzalam, if I'm not mistaken, because he makes a tzalem, he makes the pictures, photographs. But over here, of course, it doesn't mean a photograph, but rather it means you hired, for instance, a person to do etchings in a beautiful column to make it look ornate and nice for a beautiful home, etc. So a person who's going to do those types of etchings, says Rashi, wants to make sure that the beam is nice and smooth and doesn't have any rough edges, so it'll be easier to work with when he does his etchings. If you look at the Rashi, Kishur Letzalmi, it's about 5 lines lower in the Rashi than where we are in the Gemara, says Rashi, Kishur Letzalmi. Kaloimar Givui Gomur Kolehefsid. Tik boy, you gotta go and pay everything, every penny. Tik boy, Kashi Yedakti Kaloi Keach. Rofram pushed Rav Ashi to medaktik, in other words, to be extremely, extremely careful and meticulous and scrupulous. Kashi Yedakti Kaloi Keach Koira, a person who buys a beam, lots of butzurais, to go and either to go and paint it, to paint, you know, beautiful pictures on it, or to go make etchings in it. Shlakiach Yishor B'chaloki wants to make sure that it's easy to work with, it's nice and smooth and fine and good. So, same thing here too. Rofram pushed Ramashi to go and paskin to give full compensation to this purchaser. Okay, so Timur. Omer Mei Meshmei Derab Chama. Hai Man De Ika Alei. The isli ara, the isli zuzi. Person has to go and pay the ksuba of his wife. Chas v'sholem, you have a person who gave a get to his wife, and therefore he has to pay off the ksuba. At the same time, he also has to pay bali choiv. He has creditors. The isli ara, the isli zuzi. And he has both land, Baruch Hashem, and he has money, he has cash. So who does he give what to? Says the Baal Choy, Misalkin Lebezuzi. The Baal Choy, you have to pay cash. You can't go and give him the karka. The Isha Misalkin Lebe'ara. You're talking about the wife, you can go and give her property. Why? Haikidinei, Vaikidinei. Each one according to their din. Now, what does it Imar mean, each one according to their din? So Rashi says very simply, how do you have a Baal Choy? A Baal Choy, we're talking about a loan. So, Smith gave Jones a loan of $100. Now, Smith, in 6 months from now, at the time of the maturity date, does he want to get back a piece of property, or does he want to get back his cash? The answer is, presumably, he wants his cash. I did you a favor. I gave you an interest-free loan, $100 for 6 months. All I'm asking you to do, just give me back the $100. I don't want you to start going and giving me piece of property in Harlem or even on the West Side. I don't want to hire brokers. I don't want to have to start selling and buying and lawyers and negotiating. Just give me back my $100. You give him the money. Masha'enken, the Isha, assuming that she did not bring in a nadin at all, she never had the money in the first place, and therefore it says in the Ksuba, I'm going to go and give you 100 or 200, whatever, Tosefes Ksuva. She didn't put any money up. She just put her personal presence up, not monetary presents, and therefore she agreed to get married based on that promise of the 100 or 200. She was well aware at the time of the marriage that if chas v'shalom things go downward and she has to collect on her ksuba and there is no cash, then there'll be a lien on the karka. That's what it says in the ksuba itself, that kol achroim kol nechosai achroim the ksuba seich, and even if it doesn't say it, it happens to be a Tanai Bezdin. And so therefore, she is not entitled, if you will, dafka to cash. She's entitled to get a piece of property. I mean, if there is cash and there's enough to go around, sure, give cash. But if not, she'll take a piece of property. So that's what Limor means. Hai kedinei v'hai kedinei. Before we continue, this is the second toisis, is one of those four toisis that we spoke about maybe a month ago. You recall in my childhood when I spoke to Rav Rif Zatzal, that's the shver of the late Rabbi Geringer Zatzal, and the great-grandfather of today's Rabbi Geringer, so Zayin Gezut Mishtark. Anyway, so remember he asked me when I came home from yeshiva, what's the din by a milva, by a nizik, etc. I said that there's a toisis that talks about that. Vuj del teshvis, I said, here where I was learning. I don't remember whether I was learning at that time Bavakama or wherever it was, Bavmetzia. But he said, well, that teshvis is fear molin shas, four times in shas. And three times it says, v'oimer rabbeinatam, v'eimer rabbeinatam, v'eimer rabbeinatam. And the fourth time it says, margil v'pumid rabbeinatam. Anyway, here is one of those four places. It's the second toisis here, it's a short toisis. It's an important toisis in terms of halacha, and it's very simple. See, oimer rabbeinatam, toisis labal choy misalkinalei, oimer rabbeinatam, the gimel dinin chalukim. There are three separate halachas. One for a milva, one for a nizik, and one for a sachir. So the milva, the malva, that's labal choyf. Islei zuzi leimotzi lesluki ba'ara. Kidamrin and hacha. If you have a malva and a loiva, and the loiva comes a maturity date, you owe $100, and you have $100, even though you have real estate, you have no right to go and give him the real estate. You gotta give him back cash. Now obviously, if the malva says, I'm happy to take real estate, that's fine. But if he wants the cash, you gotta give him cash. He lent you cash, give him back cash. Makes sense. If you don't have cash, then you go and give him real estate. Nizik, afil islei zuzi misalik le ba'ara. If chas v'shalom you did a hezik, what does it say in that pasuk? Meitav karmoy, umeitav sadeyu yishalem. You can give him meitav. You can't go give benis ziburis if you have idiots. So therefore, even if you have cash, lichat chila, if you cause somebody else damage, you can give him real estate. Meitav sadeyu, meitav karmoy. Ubisachir, if you had an employee, I feel a less lezuzi, even if you have no cash, and you only have real estate, tough luck. You, the employer, have to go and liquidate your real estate. Don't go and tell the employee, hey, I'll give you a piece of real estate. The employee worked hard for you for the last week or two, or whatever. You're going to tell him, oh, here's a piece of real estate. Mister, I want cash. I have to go to the grocery store to go and buy bread and milk and food for my mishpacha. I got to go and pay the rent. I got to go and pay my mortgage. Don't give me real estate. I need cash. So the sachar fill in less than zuze. Even if the employer has no money, amrina le ziltrach v'zomin. You be matriach. You sell the real estate. V'aisi zuze. I'm giving money. And zoyin zoy v'ater. You look further in the taisis. So those are the three key differences between, in terms of tashlumin, for the malve, for the nizik, and sachar. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so have over here an individual, he had both cash and he had real estate, but he didn't have enough cash to go around. Give the Baal Choyf the cash, give the real estate to the Isha for her ksuba. Each one kidine. And we continue, the Eloi Ika Elechad Ara. What happens if you only have one piece of property? V'loi Chazia Elechad. And you don't have more than that one piece of property, and now you have to start choosing between the two. Who do I give the money to? Who do I actually not the money, but who do I give the ara to? He should rather pay off the creditor rather than paying off his wife. Now, why should he go and pay off the creditor as opposed to go and... And Rashi, by the way, says it's talking about that both of them have the same date. Because if one is an earlier date, then automatically you have to go and pay. The one that's earlier in time is the earlier one that gets paid. But assuming that both of them happen to be on the same date, so what do? You go and pay off the Baal Chayv. Then hopefully the Isha will be able to go and get from Lekuchayz, from liens, but you pay off the Baal Chayv. What's the reason why? To my timer, because Yoisi Masha Isha Roitza Lisa, Isha Roitza Lihinase. More than if the man wants to get married, she wants to get married. Meaning that the fact that she won't get paid immediately on her ksuba with the real estate, but rather you're going to go and give the real estate to the Baal Chayv, obviously, she's not happy. However, she's willing to get married even on, if you will, spec that she might not get paid her ksuba from her husband, but she's going to have to run around to try to go and collect. It's best to be gunish. She wants to be married. We had the Gemara's earlier, as you remember, where even if the husband was a midget, or if the husband came from questionable lineage, or even if he worked for the sanitation department, otherwise known as the garbage department, nevertheless, a woman wants to be married. So even though she will be denied her payment in favor of the Baal Chayv, Rashi says the reason why we favor the Baal Chayv, shalei tinul deles b'fnei lovin. We don't want to stop this husband from being able to go and take more loans in the future. If he doesn't pay off this loan, nobody will ever lend him another penny. We want to leave the doors open for future possible loans and transactions. Tosis is bothered by this Gemara because we've said many times in the past, including 2 days ago, that Ksuba, the Isha, has greater rights than the Baal Chayv Mishum China. The China is because we want to make sure that she's a desirable candidate for remarriage. Here we're giving precedence and priority to the Baal Chayv over the Isha. Back 2 days ago, in Pei Dalet, when we talked about the Koshel means the one that had the Shvacher, the weaker rights, we said according to one man, the Omar, that actually the Isha has the Shvacher rights because of the fact she's in a weaker position because she needs to have that financial security before she gets married. Anyway, you look in the next choices, the Isha. Continuing right to the Gemara. Rav Papa says to Rav Chama, Vari di Amriso, I heard in your name that you said Mishmei de Rava, that Hayman de Maski Bei Zuzi, the Isle Ara, the Osa Bal Choy, the Kotova Mine, the Omele Zil Shkol Me Ara, Amrinale Zil Zoven At, the Isi Havle. I heard in your name, Rav Chama, that you said in the name of Rava, that if you have a Bal Choy, in other words, a creditor who wants to, a malva wants to get paid on his loan, on his note. Hayman de maske bezuzi, you owe him money. The isli ara, and he owns property. The osam al choif, and now the creditor says to the lender, sorry, to the borrower, the kovet tam minei, nu pay me. The omulein, he tells him, zil shkoil mi ara, here, I'll give you a piece of real estate. Amrin alei, we say then to the borrower, Zil Zoven At, you go and sell the property, the Isi Havle, and go and give him the cash. In other words, don't pay him with real estate, pay him with cash. Is that true? Did you say that? Amale Loi, no, I never said that. The reason why I never said that is in accordance with the choices that we said before. That if you have a Malve and a Loive situation, and if the Loive has no money, then he can go and hand over real estate. The only time that we say that the person who owes money has to himself liquidate the real estate is by an employer-employee situation. You can't say, employee, I know that you are desperate for cash, I give you a piece of real estate. I don't want real estate. I want to be able to go and buy bread and milk and food for my family. See here, we have a Baal Chayv. Unfortunately, our borrower, Aloive, has no money. He says, I want to give you a piece of real estate. Is it true, Rav Chama, you send the name of Rava, you can't give the real estate. You yourself have to go and liquidate the real estate and pay him in cash. Did you tell him that? Loi, I never said it. Obviously, if I heard this, there must have been something there, some sort of story. Amalei says, I'll tell you the story. That fellow was a toilet ma'isa ba'ivik chavim have. What was the story? Again, we come to the loiva, we say to the loiva, you owe me $100. And I see here, I did a search, a Google search, a bank search, and I found out that you have a bank account with $100. Please give me the money. And he said, no, I don't have any money. I only have real estate. But what about this bank account for $100? That's not really my money. That money belongs to James McGillicuddy III, who happens to be a Nochri, an Oyvik Chavim. Doesn't belong to me. So why are you holding on to this money? It's a trust account. He left it with me as a Bikodin, but it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to that Gentile. I'm not going to start up with any Gentiles. Then I have no choice. Give me real estate. And then afterwards we find out that the whole thing was a fib, a bluff, a puff. The whole thing was not true. He had cash. No, he had cash. Why don't you pay the cash? By the time we found out that this was really his own cash, he already spent it in Las Vegas, and therefore there was no cash left. Then we go and say, you, Loive, you're such a dishonest fellow. You had the cash. You could have paid him in cash, but rather you said that that cash doesn't belong to you, it belongs to this Gentile. You now have to go and liquidate your properties and come up with the cash. That's what Gemara said. He was a bad guy. He acted inappropriately to go and say the cash was not his, but it belongs to the goy. Therefore we go and put it to him and say, okay, you think you're going to go and make a mockery out of halacha and batitinim and jurisprudence, you got to go and liquidate your own property, even if prices are now deflated. That's your problem. Go and get the cash and hand it over to the mal. You said that Prius Balchoiv is a mitzvah. That the reason why you go and pay off your Balchoiv, it's a mitzvah to go and pay off. How do I know that there's such a mitzvah, says Rashi, because it says, Eifas tzedek, hin tzedek, yeloch. The Gemara darshins from that, hin tzedek shehe, hen shalecha tzedek, v'lav shalecha tzedek. When you say yes, or you say no, it should be truthful, it should be tzedek, it should be righteous. Don't go and chas v'shalom deceive people. So, priest Baal Choyv is a mitzvah. So, Ibazoi, Omar, what happens if the fellow says, l'nichali de'eved mitzvah, listen, I'm not such a frum fellow, and I don't do all the mitzvahs. This will just be another mitzvah that I don't do. So what do you do then? My, what do you do with a guy like that? Amalei told him, Tanina, we learned. Memed var memurim mitzvahs loy sasa. What did we learn, says Rashi, last Rashi, doloik arboim. Person who doesn't want to do, not kasushol, the other way around. Person that is about to commit a lav, a loy sasa. Two edim come over to him and give masra. Yanko, make sure you don't do that. If you're going to go and eat chazer, or you're going to go and eat nevelis, we're going to go and give you malchus. And he says, I don't care. And then afterwards they take him to Bezin, we give him malchus. Medvar murma mitzvahs loy sasa by alav, of mitzvahs asei, ki goin shoimim loy asei sukkah. Sukkah is around the corner, build the sukkah. Deini oysa, nah, lulav, you better buy arba minim shortly. There'll soon be a shortage, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Go and buy. So what do you think? Bezin says, okay, we tried our best. No. Makin oise achetet zinavsha mikin tepech. Until he's mekayim the mitzvah. Here too. He's saying, well, priest Balchoyv is just a mitzvah. Okay, a mitzvah, so I missed that one mitzvah. Let him game pech until he goes and pays for the, pays off his creditors that he owes the money to. Okay, first we get off a little bit on a tangent, and then we come back to our sugyas over here. What was the shaila? Rami Bar Choma and Rav Chisda, As soon as Barry reads a Gemara like that, he says to himself, oh, Rabbi Bar Chama was the first Edom of Rav Chisda, right? He was the son-in-law of Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda had his daughter on his lap and said, who do you want to get married to, Rami Bar Chama or to Rava? And the daughter said, I want to get married to both of them. And then Rami Bar Chama was the first lucky one. And after he passed away, then Rava married her as well. Right? Right, Barry? Am I correct? Shkoich. So, boy, many Rami Bar Chama Rav Chisda. I'm sorry? Rava said, I want to be second. And in fact, he was second. Rami Bar Chama married the young lady first, the daughter of Chisda. In fact, even yesterday we had that Rava quoted his wife, the daughter of Rav Chisda, that said that that other lady is not to be believed if she were to make a shmur. Anyway, Rami Bar Chama, either after he became the son-in-law or before he became the son-in-law, he asked Rav Chisda, how is it gitech v'leitis karshi boy eliach shloishim yon? A husband gives a wife a get and says the get should not be effective immediately. It should be effective in 30 days from now. The holcha, and she took that get, and she put it b'tzidei Rishus Rabim. Tzidei Rishus Rabim means not the main thoroughfare Rishus Rabim, but on the side. We've had this concept earlier on in the Masechta, that they used to have the sides of Rishus Rabim. In fact, they used to go and put up some barriers there, so that if there was a lot of heavy traffic, people wouldn't go and step over into an adjoining property of a landowner or of a homeowner. So they used to have Tzidei Rishus Rabim, little barriers over there, so that people would stay within the confines of the Rishus Rabim. Anyway, she put it b'tzidei Rishus Rabim. The Gemara's real shaila is, what's the status of Tzidei Rishus Rabim? Does it have the status of Rishus Rabim, or does it have the status of a simta? Well, how did we get into this sugya in the first place? So remember, we learned yesterday and the day before about Reb Tarfin and Reb Akiva. We had a machloikis in the Gemara, and actually already in the Mishnah. What was Reb Tarfin all about? That you had a person who passed away, and now the Yorishim, of course, want to get hold of the property. But at the same time, you have a Balchoiv or an Isha who wants to get her ksuva, and they want to go and attach the property. And we said it depends where the property was. They want to be toifis. They want to chop the property. And we're not talking about real estate, because real estate you can go get through your normal Besdin proceedings. Here we're talking about a case where you had, for instance, metalklin. And the Gemara made a distinction between where were the metalklin lying when the Balchoiv or the Isha chopped them and did a tfisa. So, remember we had Rabin Shmuel that said, it's got to be that those in Choshm are Rishus Rabim, because Rishus Rabim is like a no man's land, it's Hefker. So anybody can go and chop. Mashenkin, if it was in a simta, which is like a private alleyway, where there is very little thoroughfare, so there you could make kinyonim, and therefore if the metalklin of the nifter were lying there in the simta, then the yorshim yarshin it automatically. They don't have to have it in their pocket. They don't have to make a kinyan mashicha, kinyan hagba. Automatically, the father passed away. It's in a simta. A simta is considered to be sufficient, safeguarded area as if it belonged to the father, and therefore belongs now to them automatically. So the question is, what's the status of Tzidei Rishus Rabim? Is it like a simta? And therefore, if the lady put the get there in the simta, 30 days pass, presto, I'm koine, because it's in my rishus. Not my rishus, but it's a rishus that everybody can use to make kinyonim. Mashenkin, if Tzidei Rishus Rabim is like Rishus Rabim gufa, like the middle of Rishus Rabim, it's hafka. And if the get is going to be chal in 30 days from now, not now, in 30 days from now, and guess what? In 30 days from now, it's going to be in the middle of Rishus Rabim. You can't be going in the middle of Rishus Rabim, according to our Gemara. So that's the Gemara Shail over here. How does it get there for Leitiskarishim? But notice it doesn't say over here that it should work Lamafreya. It says Leitiskarishim, boy, only Elachash Loishim Yoim, in 30 days from now. Is everybody still here? Can anybody hear me? No. Can you hear me, Chevra? Okay, now Momtelia was there. Mute. Okay, I can't see all of you, but I hope you can see me. Anyway, now I see Brother Barry. I'm sure the others will come up shortly as well. So the Gemara continues on. Yeah, start again. Boy minay Rami Barchomer of Chizra. I said, "Gitach v'leitzkar sheboy le'achish loyishim yoyim." I'm giving you a get now. It should be chal. It should be effective in 30 days. V'holch v'nichos b'tzidur shesram, and she placed the b'tzidur shesram. Mal, is this a place where in 30 days from now the get will be effective? Amalei, he told him, "Ain't a migureshes. How do I know?" Midrav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel Yamar Travayev, which is Tzimburim, Umenachem, which is Saravim. The Tzidur Shesaravim have the Din Kishesaravim Dumbel. They're exactly the same Tzidur Shesaravim, just like Kishesaravim. And just like in the case of the Balchoiv or the Isha, they can be Toifis from the Shesaravim, because that Rishus is a Hefkerdika place, and therefore they can get it before the Yorshim are Zeiche. Here too, the lady, she can go to the Rishisaram to be Zoicha, but if she's not there, and the get is in Rishisaram at the time of 30 days, it's like in no man's land, it's like Hefker. It's not in her Chotzer. It's not in her Yad. After all, you remember Mesechta's Gittin, which we'll learn shortly, that the cost of Losef increases with Nosan Biyada. So it's either going to be physically in her hand, or at least Bechatzera. But here it's a no man's land, it's Shusaram, therefore, ain't a Migureshes. Frey Demora, Adarab, I would say you're Migureshes. But Rab Nachman, you're Rab Nachman, Omer Rabavua, Ho'im Ali Chaveroi, Mishoich Porizuvoloi, Tia, Knuyoloch, Adla Achish Loishim Yayim. I go and tell my Chaver, I'm selling you my Porah, my cow, make a Mashiach now. It shouldn't belong to you for 30 days. The next 30 days, it's mine. I'm going to use the cow. I'm going to pay insurance on the cow. I'm going to feed the cow. And 30 days from now, it's going to belong to you. So do the kinyan now. In 30 days, kana vafila oimedes ba'agam, even if it's in the marshes, even in the swamps, you're kaina. My love, hainu agam, hainu tzidur shesaram. Aren't agam tzidur shesaram basically the same? It's not a major thoroughfare where people are going through. It's kind of alleyway. Agams are also like alleyways. And so therefore, just like by the agam, if the por is in the agam in 30 days from now, and you're kaina, so the chori the get, if it's in the agam or in the tzidur shesaram, it should be kaina. Every more like agam l'chud, the tzidur shesaram l'chud. Agam is like a simta, and agam you can be koina. It's like a semi-private or virtually private property. How many people walk around in swamps and in marshes? Therefore, you're koina. But see, the shisharam is like Rishi Saram itself. Although it's not the major thoroughfare, but it's a minor thoroughfare. Just like Rishi Saram is a no man's land, it's hefker, and you cannot be koina there. Here too, Tzidur Shesaram, you also can't be koina. That's the first version of the discussion. Oh, Gitchavis, Brother Shai, see you, Met Shem, Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for Slichas. Be well, Koltov. Be well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for organizing the minyan. Ikriyami, there's another version to the story, which is just the opposite. Oh, Malay. Remember, what did Rami Bar Chama ask Rav Chizda? Harzikitech was discussed by the Achish Loishim Yoim, and she put it in the Tzidur Shesaravim. What's the din? Talk to Yimora Amalei. He didn't tell him ain't a migresh. He told him migureshes midrav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? The Hoim El Chaverim Meshoich Porizu, and you're going to be coined in 30 days. Kana Vafiloi Medes Beagam Vatzidur Shesaravim Kagam Dami. And Tzidur Shesaravim is just like Agam. They both have a status like a Simta, and therefore you can be Koina. So if she put it there in the Tzidur Shesaravim, that is effective. In 30 days from now, she will be an official divorcee, an official Gerusha. But Rabbi Shmuel, just like Rabbi Shmuel said, that if the Metaltalin was Rishus Rabim, then it's like a no man's land. My love, Hainu Shisram, Hainu Tzidur Shisram. Wouldn't you say Tzidur Shisram has the same din like a Rishi Sarabim? No. Rishi Sarabim Lechud, Tzidur Shisram Lechud. So therefore, we basically have two versions of the story. According to version number one, if you want to be koina, the get in 30 days, and it's lying in 30 days from now in Tzidur Shisram, Ainu Migureshes. Because Tzidur Shisram has a din like Rishi Sarabim. According to the second version, it's Megureshes, because Tzidur Shesaravim does not have a din like Rishi Sarabim, and therefore she put it in a relatively safeguarded area where she can be Koina, and 30 days from now she'll be Koina automatically, and she'll be Megureshes. And we go on to next Mishnah. And this Mishnah, as you'll see, is talking about a husband that is very suspicious of his wife when it comes to monetary matters. What happens if a husband says, I'm busy doing other things, I'm going to make my wife in charge of the store, or an apotropis, or the guardian of other property that he owns, and he is suspicious that she's not handing over all of the profits, she's pocketing some of the income. So, if he wants to, if he wants to, he can take her to Bezin and force her to make a shvua, an oath, that she hands over all the time, all the profits of the store. She doesn't keep anything for herself. Rebbeleze adds one more level. Afilu al pilcha fi al isasa. Even if he didn't appoint her to be in money matters, to be the chenvon is in charge of the store or in charge of the business, but rather she's just at home. And she's pilcha. A pelech, as you know, is a spindle, which you use in the spinning and weaving and sewing process. Fa'al isasa. Isasa means that she's baking dough, like a cake, or a challah, or bread, or what have you. So, even there too, says Reb Lezer, the husband can say to the wife, I gave you kach v'kach amount of flour, I gave you enough money to buy this amount of flour, and, you know, I expected there would be 5 challahs baked, and I see there are only 4. I think that you ate up the 5th challah, or you sold it, or you took some of that kemach, and you put it on the side to give to somebody else or to sell it. So even on that, you can go and be mashbia your wife, unfortunately, if things come to that type of situation. Now the Gemara asks, Reb Lezer obviously is arguing with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says only in a business setting of a chenvonis or apotropia, but Reb Lezer says even in a household setting he can be mashbia. So the question is, can he be mashbia directly, solely for the pilcha or isasa, or does it have to be al-yidei gilgul shvua? Gilgul shvua, as you know, means, although you don't have the right to directly be machayev shvua, but if you're making a shvua anyway, you throw this in as well. I believe you learn the din of gilgul shvua from the din of soita, where it says, va'amra isha amen amen, even though you're only suspecting the wife of chas v'shalom going beseser with Yankel Smith. But once you're being mashbia, you throw in not only Yankel Smith, but also Beryl Jones, and Shmerel Rosenberg, and Gedalia Goldberg, and anybody and everybody in the world, even though I didn't bring it to Bezin for that, but that's what we call a Gilgul Shua, you throw in any other possibilities. So here says the Gemara, Iboilu, Reb Lezer. When Reb Lezer says in the Mishnah, Fil al pilcha, the Ali Sasa, Ali de Gilgul Ka'amar, meaning she acts as the chenvonis on behalf of her husband, and the husband says, ah, you're making a shvua about the chanut, about the store, you know what, throw in about the pilcha of the isasa, or the melezah means, no, she's nothing to do with stores, she's nothing to do with apotropia, she just works in the kitchen, she just works at home, I want you to make a shvua on pilcha of the isasa. Can you be mechayv? Let's try to bring a raya from a brisa. The Tanakhama says to Reb Lezer, you can't expect a person to go and live together with a snake in a basket. That's of course an expression, we've had that Gemara already before, and the expression means to say you can live with the snake for a short period of time, just make sure that you and the snake don't get close to each other. But what happens if you turn your head for a moment and then the snake notices that you turned your head? And Chas V'Shalom, the snake can go and jump on you without your chance to go and stop it or to run away or to jump away. See, you can't. You know, if you're living with a nochesh b'klifa, you can't be up 24/7 watching the nochesh to make sure that it doesn't attack you. Same thing over here. They said, Mamela, if he appoints her to be a chenvonis or apotropia, okay, you know, it's business is business, even if the business lady happens to be your wife. I can understand being mashbia. But to be mashbia, your wife at home, when she is going and preparing the chalas or the bread, make sure that you didn't go and hold back one egg. Make sure you didn't hold back any kemach from me. I want you to make a shvua. Come on. You can't live like that. So if you're going to go and tell me that the shvua was solely about the pilcha v'sasa, then I understand. That's good. Because a lady says, I can't live under those circumstances. And that's why the Chachamim said to Reb Lezer, how can you say that a husband can go and be mashbi his wife, pilcha v'sasa? This marriage is not going to last for another 5 minutes? Eliyamas, Aide Gilgul, if you're telling me that the Chachamim are referring to, or the Reb Lezer is referring to a Gilgul situation, I agree with you. You can't be mashbi on Isha, on pilcha v'sasa alone. However, if you're making a shvur anyway on the chenvanis, throw in the pilcha or isasa, so my nafkala mina. So why does she care? Why do you say, ain odem dor mechnochash bikfifa? She knows that she's going to have to periodically make a shvur on the chenvanis or the apotropia. So you throw in the pilcha or isasa too. What difference does that make? Everything I'll tell you, the Amrele, she says to her husband, Kimin de kadaikis basroi kuli hai. I can understand business is business. You're going to have to go and file your tax returns with the IRS. You're on extension, October 15th. You want to make sure all your expenses are set forth and there won't be any questions. Where did this money go? Where did that money go? And there were diversions and there's income that's not being reported. I can understand that you want to really be medaktek kechut hasara. That doesn't bother me. But to go and ask me to go and make a shvua on pilcha v'yisasa, even though it's ayde gilgul shvua, rachmanis, every little thing that I do, every time I spend a nickel or a dime or a penny, I have to give you a din v'chashvin. I can't live like that. You know, the big monies, in the big picture, that I can live with having a shvua from time to time. But on the little pennies for the iso or for the pilcha, ich kamish. That was therefore the discussion. It says Yomar, so it could even be Al Gilgul Shvur. So Leimatina the other Badoch, I can't live with you, says the wife under those circumstances. So bottom line, the Gemara is saying is, I have no raya from that brisa where the Chacham said Ein Adam Dor in Nachash Bekif. So let's try to bring a new raya. Toshima, Hashlei Pater is Ishtay Min Aneidu Uman Hashvur. A person did not pater his Ishtay Min Aneidu. What does that mean? He didn't pater. I'm sorry. We were on mute. Hari shalei pater his ishtem and a neder umen ashvur. Person didn't pater his wife from neder shvur. What does it mean he didn't pater? We'll see in Yetz Hashem when we get to the next Mishnah that it was, if you will, similar to a prenuptial agreement, but it didn't have to take place before the chasana, where the husband could agree to the wife, you know what, I trust you, I will never cause you to have to make a neder or shvua regarding any matter. I trust you implicitly and explicitly. He can give her a tour. She never has to come and make a neder or a shvua. Sorry, shalei pater. When I'm in shalei pater, he did not pater his ishtem and a neder and a shvua. And rather, voishivech and vonis oishemina apotropia. And now he says to his wife, I'm suspicious that there is some income that has not been reported and that's being covered up, that you've diverted. What's going on? How does this much be a close manchiyat? He's allowed to do that. But lo yoishivech and vonis, oishemina apotropia, any ochel ashbia. Otherwise, you can't be mashbia. Says the Tanakhama, like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, you cannot be mashbia on pilcha v'sasa. Business, yes, but not other things. Or a blessed oimer afu pish loy hoshiva chenvat. The loy mean apotropia. Har is a mashbia, calls man sheyirtze. Even if he didn't give her any financial official position, he can also be mashbia. Shech ein lecha isha shloy nasas apotropia sho achas b'chayi bala al pilcha v'al yisasa. Implicitly, she is a apotropia, even without an official court appointment. Just the fact that she is in charge of the Pelech or the Isa, that itself is an appointment, if you will, and therefore he can go and force her to make a shvur. Amrulai, so they said no. They said no. You can't expect a woman to go and live together with her husband like a snake in a basket. Anyway, what do I see from this braisa? Reb Lezer said directly and clearly, Afloi hoyshiva chenvonis, and Nana Petropi, he can be mashbir her. So Shema Minos, I see from this, lechatchila he can be mashbir, it doesn't have to be through a Gilgul Shvua, even lechatchila he can be mashbir, Shema Minos, so we've been poishet our shayla, according to Reb Lezer. Okay, on to the final Mishnah for today, Zok the Mishnah. This is directly tied to what we just spoke about before. Cost of law. Neder shvur in the alayich. I'm never going to cause you to make a neder shvur. You'll always be believed by me. So for instance, if I appoint you to be an apotropis or a chenvonis, I'll never ask you to go make any shvurs. And there's going to be further ramifications. What happens if eventually, chas v'sholem, this husband gives a divorce to his wife? At that time, when she wants to collect on her ksuba, we learned already in the past she's going to have to make a shvua that she didn't have tsrari atvasa, that she didn't already get part of the ksuba, the whole ksuba. What happens when somebody's majbiya her, there's an eid echad. The husband says, my wife, you'll never have to make a neder shvua. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more, you see in the bottom of the Amit Shvua Mayavidita, what type of shvua we're talking about. That's going to be mentioned tomorrow's daf. But if he writes such a commitment, it doesn't even have to be b'ksav. It could even be b'amira ba'almi. He says orally to her that neder shvua ein li alayich ein yochel hashbi. He can never go and force her to make a shvua. Avu mashbi was yosheh. However, he can be mashbiya her yarshin. Yes, a boim b'reshusa or any asani or transferee. What type of situations are we talking about? So Rashi said very simply, what happens if a husband gave a get to his wife? Now, if she wants to collect on the ksuba, she does not have to make a shvua. We just said in our Mishnah, cost of law, neidu shvua, ein li alayich. But what happens if Nebuch, before she had a chance to go and collect on the ksuba, she passed away? And who's going to go and collect now? Her yarshim, her children. Or what happens if she sold her ksuba to somebody else, and now the lekeach wants to go and collect? Oh, I didn't make a commitment vis-a-vis the yarshim and vis-a-vis the asani. Oh, you only made a commitment vis-a-vis her. We're having connectivity issues for those that are listening to the recording. Okay, sorry about that, everybody. Okay. So the Mishnah says, so although he gave a commitment to his wife, that I'm not going to be mashbia you, that doesn't extend automatically to her children or to a transferee. So if they want to collect a ksuba after this marriage ends because of a get situation, they will have to make a shvua. What type of shvua is Rashi? Shvua sayorshim, on the case of the lekeach, that I didn't get paid and that I'm the bona fide lekeach. What happens if he says to her, broader terms, neidu shvua in li alayich, V'al yershayich, v'al boim reshuseich. Oh, this is a much broader type of exemption where he says, I'm never going to require you or your heirs or your transferees or assanees. None of you have to make a shvuah. En yachol hashbi alayhi v'al yershayich v'al yasboim reshuseich. That's what he committed to. Av'al yershav mashbiyan oisa v'yas yershayich v'yas boim reshuseich. What happens if the Baal passes away? And now the yorishim of the Baal want the woman or the yorishim or the transferee to make a shvur. No, they will have to make a shvur because that commitment is only binding on the person of the Baal, not on his children. Here we go again. I don't know if you hear me or not, but hopefully we'll be reconnected in a moment. Can you hear me? Anybody hears me? You can't hear me. Okay. You can't hear me and you can't see me. Oh, I think we're coming back. Can? You can? Oh, wonderful. So let's continue on. So the Mishnah continues on. The Mishnah says, Av Yorshav, his Yorshim, Mashbi'in Oisa, since they didn't make this commitment, they can be Mashbi'a her, yes, Yorshav, yes, Abon Rishusa. Now what happens if the father, the husband, makes a very broad, Neder Shvua Ein Li, V'loy Li Yorshai, V'loy Leboim Birshusi, neither I can be Mechayiv Yorshvua, nor the children, nor the Einiklach, nor the transferees. None of us can be Mashbi'a, Alayich. Alayich, the Al Yorshayich, V'aleboim Birshuseich, I am exempting all of you, and not only I am exempting, but I'm also committing my Yarshim and my transferees to an exemption of you, my wife, your Yarshim and your transferees. And the Yochel Hashbiya, Loi Hu, V'lo Yarshav, V'lo Yabarim Shusai, Loi Oysa, V'lo Yarshav, V'lo Yabarim Birshusa. So all of that is pretty straightforward. It all depends on how broad his commitment was to his wife and that exemption that he exempts her and all her transferees, assinees, and Yarshim. And finally, Holcha mikever ba'ala lebeis aviyah. She was originally an apotropia, or a chenvanus, and then her husband passed away. And straight from the kever of her late husband, she went home to beis aviyah. And therefore she said, I'm no longer going to be a chenvanus or an apotropia. Nebuch, my husband passed away. Rashi says, lebeis aviyah, shloines aska shim b'nechasim. I'm out of here. You know, my husband passed away. I'm going to retire. I'm going now back to Beis Aviyah. Or, she chazal Beis Chamiyah, or she in fact returned to her own home, to her shver's home, in other words, the husband of her late husband. And she says, but I'm not a Apotropia anymore. Now I've retired. No more financial matters. And the Yorsh must be an Oisa. Then the Yorsh can no longer be Mashbiya her for the future, as we'll see. But if she did return to apotropia, but all of this is on the future, because now she's going to start working for them. So anything that's happened after the husband passed away and she continues to do any type of business for them, they're afraid that now that the husband passed away, maybe now she's going to pocket some of the income or some of the petty cash, whatever. Oh, on the future, however, that's al osalavi. They must be noisa masha over. What happened previously when the husband was still alive, that they cannot be mashbir anymore because that's already history. And the Hashem Rabbi, so we're going to continue on Sunday morning. And as we discussed at the outside of the shir, Amyachim approximately at 8:25. Everybody have a wonderful, beautiful Shabbos. A gemach sima toiva and a git geben.